right. Here we go on a Sunday morning in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here live in the Fox Sports RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank Studio every Sunday morning at 8 on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, Las Vegas flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights and sister station of Raiders Nation Radio and ESPN Radio Las Vegas. The We also includes social media director Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
Nobody beats the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz.
And producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who aside from being a part of several shows here at Lotus Broadcasting, Mags also serves as the locker room reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. We are also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live and Twitch. The page is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Follow the show on Instagram and X at Out of Line Fox LV. And since we are live, your calls and questions are welcome. The Fox Sports RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank Studio Line, is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap, brought to you by title sponsor RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank. Whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank, is the company to turn to for all of your home financing needs. To get information or to get your questions answered regarding anything mortgage or real estate related, contact the pros at RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank today at 702-964-5720.
Sucks. Obviously, if I had the moment back, I wouldn't have fouled him and just let him make or miss the shot. But basketball, you win some, you lose some, you make mistakes.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, hell of a basketball player, and of course disappointed after the number one seed in the Western Conference gets bumped yesterday. The young OKC Thunder get knocked off by the Dallas Mavericks. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We've also got a little bit on Nightcap. We'll talk a little bit more about the unrestricted free agents out there and maybe a little bit more on who we think will be around and who won't be around, a little bit about the NHL playoffs. Big Game 7 tomorrow night, Edmonton-Vancouver. We'll highlight that a bit. And it's crazy, man, but to this point, all the division winners have advanced to the conference finals in the NHL. If Vancouver finds a way to beat Edmonton on tomorrow night, that will be the first time. I don't know if it ever, but it doesn't happen very often where you have all four division winners make the conference championship. Pretty cool. Speaking of conference finals, as I mentioned, we're getting close in the NBA. Two game sevens today. We'll round out the NBA conference finals. Boston and Dallas already through in their respective conferences as well. Big heavyweight fight last night. We'll talk about that a little bit. We also, of course, the Las Vegas Aces, back-to-back champion Las Vegas Aces, start the season with two straight wins. We'll bring that up in a bit. And there will be no triple crown winner again this year. And wow, 13 players within five shots of the lead in the PGA Championship at Valhalla. That is what's on tap if you are looking to buy a home, refinance the home you currently own, or have any mortgage or real estate related questions. Contact the mortgage experts at RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank, today at 702-964-5720. And we'll get right to it, Spencer. Go ahead and jump right into Nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Beating this subject into the glue factory, but, you know, you can't talk enough about the Golden Knights, and, you know, you're looking at potentially two more of the final misfits being basically sent elsewhere at the end of the season, which is now. They've gotten to like July before you start seeing a lot of this happen. But, you know, the biggest names, obviously, Jonathan Marceau, Chandler Stephenson, are the ones that most people are concerned with. Chandler Stephenson going to command a high dollar amount. Forget about it. He won't be here. We saw his production drop off this year after two great years with the Knights, really well in the Stanley Cup playoffs and final last year. However, his tenure with the Vegas Golden Knights, I can almost assure you, is over. Jonathan Marceau, I'm like 90% sure he will not be here. you just can't pay a guy that's 35 years old the money that he is going to command and stay under the salary cap. Jonathan Marchessault will get the money he's going to command. I think he exits stage left. That is unfortunate. Another guy, William Carrier, a guy that just can't seem to stay healthy. You know, with William Carrier, another free agent, Michael Amadio, got a lot more playing time this year and was really a fixture in the regular season for the Vegas Golden Knights this year, and partially because of the injuries constantly sustained by William Carrier. I think Amadio does get re-signed. I think he'll make sense under the cap. William Carrier will not. I think he'll be elsewhere as well. Anthony Mantha, another guy that's going to be gone, picked him up at the trading deadline, was a good pickup, did help them through the regular season. I'll tell you what, he is a goal scorer. He's a guy that can get you 20 goals at any point in time, is even capable maybe of getting you 30 goals. The Knights won't pay him. He'll be gone. Alec Martinez does need to retire. I think that he will. Three Stanley Cup trophies under his belt. It's time to exit stage left. One of the greatest shot blockers probably in NHL history. In his tenure, I think maybe all but four seasons of his career, he led the NHL in block shots. And if you saw what happened to his face, and this guy has definitely sustained a number of injuries, especially lately, and he still goes out there and does the same thing night in and night out. If he wanted to play again, I'm sure there's an opportunity for it. My guess is at 38, I think he's 36 now, 37, it's time to walk away from the game, and I think we'll see him do that. He'll always be remembered, loved here, obviously loved in L.A. where he's got his other two rings, but that's kind of my take on it, Chris. You know, and I know we've beat this subject up a great deal, but I think out of the unrestricted free agents that I see, the only one to me that gets retained by the Vegas Golden Knights is Michael Amadio.
Well, you know, it's funny because you think about the Marchessault situation, and I think he wants to stay. I think the team would like him to stay, but I just don't think the money is going to make sense either way. You know, he wants to get paid, and certainly the Golden Knights don't want to pay him. Right? I mean, it's not that they don't want to pay him. It's that they want to get him on a deal that's going to be very team-friendly. And I think if Jonathan Marchessault has his way, he stays here and gets the deal that he wants. So, look, the guy's coming off a 42-goal season. He's a Conn Smythe winner. He's the heart and soul of the locker room. I think if you can find a way to bring him back, you obviously do. I just don't know. Like, I don't know if the money will ever be right for either side. And that's why I think unless Marchessault is willing to take a extremely team-friendly hometown discount, I don't foresee him being back. I think William Carrier has probably played his last game as a Golden Knight. I think you could slot Paul Cotter in on the fourth line, and maybe you don't get the same physicality that you get with William Carrier. I think you get a guy with a little more offensive upside, and a guy who can play hopefully every night, which unfortunately for William Carrier, he has not been able to do. He's missed a lot of time in his tenure here. Michael Amadio is interesting because I think he's a guy who has had a couple of really good seasons in a row, and there's a possibility someone may decide to give him a pretty significant raise.
They might, but I think overall he makes economic sense.
Well, I think the situation for Amadio is this. He makes, tongue-in-cheek, so little compared to what a lot of other guys around the league make that for him, he's the kind of guy where staying in Vegas at less money than, say, going to, I don't know, Chicago or
San Jose
or Calgary, yeah, for a couple of $100,000 a year more may not make economical sense because of the state tax. Yep. Right? Like, if he goes and plays for a Canadian team, he's basically lost 50% of his salary before he even steps on the ice. I mean, I don't think it's that high, but you get my point.
No question about it.
It's significantly higher. So, and then you're playing, you know, 50 something games, 60 games a year in Canada if you go Calgary or Edmonton or Vancouver. So for him, he's a guy who it probably makes economical sense for him to take a hometown team or hometown deal because the tax situation for him is better here than it would be anywhere else outside of Florida or Texas.
And I think now, Chris, with the moves, Michael Amadio becomes a fixture if he stays here. He's a guy that's probably going to, if he's healthy, he's going to play almost every night. He's one of those guys, he's got a really good motor.
He's a good player.
Team likes him. He's one of those guys, he's a likable guy.
I think he is a likable guy, and I think he's a guy that, while he scored some big goals for you, but what I like about Michael Amadio is he's a guy where if you put him in the press box for a night, you healthy scratch him. He seems to show up.
Yep.
He gets the message, and he goes out and he plays a really good game for the next couple of nights. So, you know, that's something that he's done in the past, and I like that. Chandler Stephenson, I think, is gone. Like, I just think he's been here for a long time. We didn't get to talk to him at locker cleanout day. You know, in his case, he's a guy. Look, he's won two Stanley Cups. He doesn't really have anything left to accomplish in the NHL. Outside of getting a big contract. He's young enough to where he's probably going to get a 4 or 5 year deal from someone.
Yep.
And he's probably going to get $4 to $5 million a year. He's earned it. Just not here. Like, he's a guy who you know, I mean,
his production did fall off a great deal this year.
His first two
seasons with the Knights.
He really outplayed his contract. You know, like, there's guys who I think maybe you could look and say, oh, this guy makes a lot of money. And like Darnell Nurse. In Edmonton. The guy makes a lot of money. He's probably not even the best defenseman on his team.
No.
Well, I mean, he's clearly not the best defenseman on his team, but he's making a hell of a lot more than the best defenseman on his team. So in the case of Chandler Stephenson, look, you got two Stanley Cups. Go get your money, guy. Like, seriously, you got beautiful wife, you've got two kids. Go make your money.
Oh, I think he will.
You know,
I think that's
like
a no-brainer.
And good for him, you know, because he's a guy who came here. We didn't really know a whole lot about him. He was on that Capitals Cup team, but he was a fourth-line guy. Didn't register a point in the final that year against the Golden Knights. But George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon saw something in him. And, you know, obviously McPhee was a guy familiar with the Capitals. But they saw something in him. They basically gave up nothing to get him. And He was a very useful
dollar
player.
Dollar for dollar, he is the best acquisition I think the Knights have ever made.
That's a very, very good, you know, point. For what they gave up and for what they've paid him for the last 4 or 5 years, the guy has made, I mean, he's definitely earned a big, big pay raise. I mean, he's going to get a big deal from someone.
There's no question. It's like they added nitrous oxide to his tank because all of a sudden he got here in the first two seasons. He was really one of the best offensive players
on his
team.
Yeah, and then last season
going from a fourth-line guy in Washington to one of the best offensive players on your team, that speaks volumes of what he's done here. Mm. This year, not great when you're going to be an unrestricted free agent to have your worst year with the Knights.
I still had a pretty decent year.
But he had a decent year. And no question, Chris, with his age and what he's done here in the 3 years, his body work, he's going to garner a big salary increase, and he deserves it, like you said, but there's no way it happens here.
Yeah,
he's,
I mean,
he is without question. To me, he is 100% gone.
I think he's gone day one.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I think someone signs him the first day of free agency.
Yep, me too.
He may already have a deal in place with someone, you know, and maybe Will Carrier does too. Like, I mean, I think the fact that these guys... The way I look at it, and maybe I read too much into it, who the hell knows, but the way I read into it, Chandler Stephenson and William Carrier have been Golden Knights long enough to where I think if they were going, and Alec Martinez as well, to where if they were going to be back next year, we would have spoken to them at locker cleanout day. The fact that we did not get to speak to Carrier, Stephenson, Amadio, Martinez, That kind of gives me an idea that maybe those guys, and I include Amadio in that, because I mean, the one thing with Michael Amadio, he's not a guy who's going to get in there and talk for 15 minutes. Like, he's a quiet guy. He's a very friendly guy, but he's on the quiet side. And you know, when you ask him a question, he's very thoughtful with the way he answers it, but you just don't get a very long answer. So maybe because of that, they didn't put him out there, and I'm not sure how comfortable he is getting up in a podium and, you know, having cameras on him like that. So maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe that was a him decision to not do that. But Stephenson and Carrier, you know, they've been around long enough with this franchise to where, and Martinez is obviously a media savvy guy. I think you're right. I think Martinez retires. The way his body language after that loss to Dallas was pretty telling to me.
He's always the last guy to leave the ice. It's like his superstition.
Yeah,
but he took extra time.
You know, looking up in the rafters. Yeah. And I mean, the guy's had an absolutely phenomenal career. I mean, he's obviously a guy who's loved in the locker room. Like, he's another guy. Like, I mean, that's the thing. No matter who the Golden Knights bring in, you're not replacing some of these guys in the locker room. Like, you're not going to replace what Alec Martinez brings leadership-wise. I think commitment to the role. I mean, I don't know if there's a player in the league who puts his body through more punishment every year. Look, I've never blocked a shot. I've never played hockey. I've never been hit with a puck.
But I've done all three of those things.
I know it hurts to high hell, and Alec Martinez eats them up without the padding of a goalie. Yeah. So, you know, he's I think he's 37. He's probably going to go to his lake in Michigan. And, you know, we saw the pictures last year on his day with the cup. He was out there in his flip flops on the grass, you know, hanging out on the lake with the Stanley Cup. I'm sure he's got a nice boat. I mean,
right off into the sunset.
I don't know how much time guys spend on the lake in the winter in Michigan. I'm guessing not a lot.
None.
But
unless you're ice fishing. That's
once the weather warms up, I mean, I don't know if there's a better spot. I mean, that guy, I mean, he's got it. I think he probably hangs it up. I mean, it would have been really, I think, special for him to be able to go out a champion. And maybe, you know, the way the contract, maybe had his contract expired last year, maybe he would have retired last year, you know, to write off as a Stanley Cup champ. Not everyone has that. You know, Dave Andrechuk, I think, was very fortunate. You know, Ray Bourque, another guy who was able to write off as a Stanley Cup champion. I mean, obviously, Alec Martinez, not a Hall of Famer like those guys, but a guy who's won three Stanley Cups, a guy who was a very integral part of multiple.
Well, just like Jonathan Marchessault, Chris, not large in stature, but you want to talk about a guy that has balls the size of cannonballs. Both those guys, you know what, they're not big, but both those guys hold their own. And like you said, to get in front of a puck, all three of the things you've mentioned I've done, a little fluttering puck once hit me in the face below my eye, gave me a huge black eye and hurt like hell. And all it was a fluttering puck that kind of bounced up. A full-blown slap shot in the NHL, there's no way in hell I'm not getting in front of one of those.
88 miles an hour to the calf. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, him and Braden McNabb, I marvel at what those guys do back there because they just have no fear of getting in front of those pucks. With the injuries Martinez has sustained because of that, you would think he'd say, no, man. I mean, the guy almost retired because of a facial injury that, I mean, it was gruesome.
Yeah.
And yet he comes back and keeps playing the same way.
He played an entire playoffs on a broken foot.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, he's a guy who we really didn't get to, like, I never really got to speak to him a whole lot because generally he didn't talk a lot after post games, but credit to him. He was a guy who generally anytime we talked to Martinez, it was following a loss. So full credit to him on that. But he strikes me as a guy that I could hang out with, like outside of work.
He's just a good dude.
He just seems like he'd be a fun guy to and I'm sure he's got great. Not only does the guy probably have great stories, but I'm guessing he has a very great delivery in telling those stories. Like, I like all the guys on the team. Like, I mean, that's not to say that I don't like anybody on the team. I like them all. But I think there's just something different about Martinez. The sarcasm, the delivery. Like, he strikes me as a guy who'd be a lot of fun to have a few beers with.
Oh, I'm sure, man. He's a good dude, and he's from Michigan, man. So
yeah, so I know he's from Rochester Hills.
He is, man. He's a big Lions fan.
By the way, I don't know, and I would have loved to have asked Martinez this because he went to the same high school as Eric Fisher, who was the number one overall draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs a couple years ago. And I would have liked to have asked Martinez, who was the bigger star to come out of Rochester Hills, you or Eric Fisher? And I'm guessing Martinez probably would have been pretty funny. I don't know what the answer would have been, but I'm guessing it would have been a really funny kind of answer the way he would have given it to us. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny because you remember Brad Hunt?
Yeah.
So Brad Hunt is from the same hometown as Larry Walker.
He was an inaugural goal. One of the initial
mistakes. So he went to the same hometown as Larry Walker. Great. Major League Baseball player for the Colorado Rockies for many, many years. Montreal Canadiens as well. And one time I asked Brad Hunt, I said, Brad, I said, you're from Maple Ridge, B.C. Larry Walker's from Maple Ridge, B.C. What do you know about that guy? He goes, oh, my God, he's like the best athlete to ever come out of Maple Ridge. I'm like, not you. He's like, oh, come on. No, never, no. But, like, he was really funny about it. There's someone else from Maple Ridge. I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think they're going to be active in the offseason because I think they're going to make a trade or two.
They will.
I think,
you know, the Golden Knights are going to be fine. It's just part of the business. And we saw it last year. You know, a lot of people were a little bit disgruntled when Riley Smith departed. But Kelly McCrimmon is a business guy. And I've said it a number of times. I sound like a broken record. I'm never going to question what Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee do. Look at the success they've had. This team has been in the postseason every year but one. They nearly made the postseason that year, and they would have made the postseason with the most injury hour in the history of any team in the National Hockey League that's made the postseason. This team's going to be fine, but I think out of the six unrestricted free agents, the only one my prediction says they'll find a way to keep Michael Amadio, unless, like Chris said, they do end up making a change because he does end up getting a big payday. Real quickly, Chris, around the NBA, the NHL, rest of the games. Big game tomorrow night. Edmonton, the team that I predicted to win the Stanley Cup. Game 7, big win yesterday. You said Skinner is a liability, someone that's going to cause them issues. He's been in and out of the net. They decided on him yesterday in the biggest game of the season, obviously an elimination game for them, and they win it. Now they've got to go on Vancouver. Tough road to haul, but the bottom line is, this Edmonton team, what we see with these guys, Dreisaitl, Hyman, and McDavid, Chris, if you have to go on the penalty kill against those three players, it's a nightmare. And that's the key to beating the Edmonton Oilers is you've got to stay out of the box. This team, one of the best penalty or power plays I've ever seen in my life. Because again, you've got three guys that in any season are capable of scoring 40 goals, and they can all play together on special teams. That is extremely dangerous.
Yeah, if you're Vancouver, you have to stay out of the box. I mean, that's why the Golden Knights were so successful last season in beating the Edmonton Oilers. Look, I don't care who wins tomorrow night. They're not beating the Dallas Stars. Dallas Stars might win the Stanley Cup. Like, they just look like a championship team.
Jake Oettinger, you know, you always see this with goalies. He's always been a good goalie. But the consistency of Jake Oettinger right now is what is so scary.
The crazy thing with Jake Oettinger is he really hasn't had to have that game where he's out of his mind.
But he's made some saves.
But, like, I mean, I don't know who wins tomorrow night. I hope it's a good game. Last night kind of stunk. It was very anticlimactic. But I think, you know, Vancouver, there's just something about them. They're like mosquitoes. They don't see. I mean, look, they're playing their third-string goalie. They're playing a third-string goalie, and they're toe-to-toe with the Edmonton Oilers, who everyone fell in love with again heading into the playoffs. Edmonton, you know what? McDavid's going to win a cup at some point. He's just too good not to.
Three assists yesterday, and Chris, something?
But, Brian, it's not going to happen this year.
Like I said, I'm picking them. I don't think they're an extreme underdog because you have three of probably the top 12 players in the NHL all playing on the same team.
Listen, of all the teams playing, I think outside of Vancouver, they're the worst team.
Chris, they're the only team that didn't win their division.
Well,
that's what's crazy, and I don't know the answer to this question. I don't know if you do, but I don't remember ever in my life where all four division winners made it to the conference finals.
Yeah,
there haven't been
any real upsets in the playoffs, which is kind of disappointing. Like, you didn't have that shock. And the Rangers, I mean, to win game six the way they won game six was pretty incredible. Chris Kreider, they were down, and Chris Kreider decided to put the team on his back. I mean, Brian, I just don't think Edmonton would beat the Rangers. I definitely don't think – I think Florida would beat the hell out of them. I don't think they're beating Dallas. And they may not win tomorrow night. Like, I just – and listen, like I said, McDavid's probably going to win a cup at some point. But you head into next offseason with Leon Draisaitl as entering the final year of his deal.
They're going to – Chris, they will get something done.
They're either going to trade him or they're going to have to – but I just don't know where they're going to get the money to sign him.
It's going to be very, very interesting what they do in Edmonton. But I mean, you want to talk about one of the most lucrative free agents ever?
Well, the pressure on this team to win a cup next year, if they don't get it done this year,
is going to be immense.
And I mean, I know they played well this year, but they're defensively, they're just not that good. I know Skinner played good last night, but I just don't trust him. I don't see it with them.
We'll see.
I think they caught a break in that the Golden Knights lost to the Anaheim Ducks, because if the Golden Knights had beaten the Anaheim Ducks, the Golden Knights are playing the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Final. There's no doubt in my mind that Vegas would have gone through the Oilers like a hot knife through butter.
And even though they had the eighth seed, you know, like you said, there weren't many upsets.
They're the second best team in the West.
Had Vegas beaten the Knights, or excuse me, beaten the Stars, it wouldn't have been that big of an upset as far as, you know, Chris, I'll tell you, you know, you've talked about Florida all season. That's been your team that you predicted to win the Stanley Cup this year. You know, the one thing about Florida, you know, you always hear it when you lose in the finals or the Super Bowl, you come back the next year very hungry because you were right there. It's kind of a bit cliche-ish, but I will tell you what, the Florida Panthers, to me, have been playing playoff hockey the entire season, Chris. This team has been on a mission. And Bobrovsky, God, the guy just keeps getting better and better and better. I mean, you know, arguably maybe the best goalie in the National Hockey League right now. He is playing so well at the top of his game. And to Chuck said it the best, you know, again, this team has been playing playoff hockey all season long. This is just an extension of the regular season to them. If I've ever seen a team on a mission before, it is the Florida Panthers to win the Stanley Cup. To get last year to come in as a surprise team with the eighth seed and get all the way to the final, and this year to be one of the best teams in the NHL and a legit shot to win it. I still think I'm taking my underdog Edmonton Oilers to win the Stanley Cup, but I would say my second team to win it. As much as I like the Stars, I think it would be the Florida Panthers. They are playing great hockey, and again, the one thing about Florida and Dallas, and they could very well be on a collision course, is because that is where I'm seeing the best goaltending right now between those two teams. And that's what you usually see in the finals. You see two teams with great goaltenders. Last year, you know, again, whether Aiden Hill caught lightning in a bottle or that's who he's going to be again, he played well at the latter stages of the first round this year. I don't know how he'll be going on, but last year it was Bobrovsky and Hill. And those two guys were huge reasons that both those teams made the Stanley Cup final. I think, again, this year, if you're talking about the best goaltenders left, it would be and Bobrovsky, I think, without question. And, you know, I could see that. But I'll say the final will be Florida and Edmonton, and Edmonton will find a way to win it in seven games. I'm going way out on a limb there, but we'll see what happens. Listen, Spence, go ahead and hit fact this.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact this is brought to you by Life Like Hair Center of Las Vegas. If you are experiencing hair loss or thinning hair and want to learn about the best non-surgical options available, call 702-737-5759 or go to lifelikehair.com and schedule your free consultation today. It is a fact. Last night, the Dallas Mavericks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 6 of the second round of the NBA playoffs, advancing to the Western Conference Finals. Also a fact, Kyrie Irving has never lost a playoff closeout game. He is now 14-0. This is the longest streak by any player in NBA history. Here's Kyrie Irving after the game.
I'm doing my best not to be so emotional right now, because just this is probably the hardest series that I've ever had to go into, and it felt like it, and all the pain and all the sacrifices were worth it. So when you get that vindication and you can close out a team, number one team in the Western Conference, it feels good.
I'd say it feels good. You know, Kyrie Irving sounded a little bit humbled yesterday. The biggest surprise to me about the Dallas Mavericks, forget the fact that Luka Doncic is like the walking wounded. He's playing like he's in, I mean, he sounds like he's in his late 30s, but he's playing as good as he's ever played. But look at Luka Doncic, man. Again, it's his back hurts, his knee hurts, his ankles hurt, and all this guy does. Well, what's he done? He is the fifth player in NBA history with three straight triple-doubles. And it's pretty amazing. He's the fifth player to ever do that. This guy has done nothing but been spectacular his entire career. Now you see him playing with Kyrie Irving, a guy that's been known to be somewhat selfish, boisterous, pissed a lot of people off in his career, and yet Kyrie Irving has meshed really, really well with Luka Doncic. Again, 14-0 now in closeout games, which is unprecedented because no player's ever done that in NBA history. Spencer, I'll bring you in on the NBA playoffs, and starting with this game here. I mean, I felt bad for SGA. This guy is so good. His fifth straight game with 30 points and 5 assists. He is tied for the second longest streak in NBA postseason history. This kid is so good. I hated to see him and the Thunder lose, but I think the Thunder are maybe a year away, Spencer. They've got this playoff experience, which I think will help them a lot down the road. But what does it say about this Dallas Mavericks team? The fifth seed in the West, but man, are they looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, and you have to give a lot of credit to the GM. They did a real big rehaul. I did not like the roster for a long time. You know, those Tim Hardaway, Maxi Kleba, like those kinds of players kind of riddled their team, were playing the most important minutes for a long time. Then they went out and got Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively, PJ Washington. Yeah. They got him from Charlotte. All of those guys, huge contributors in this series, and I don't think they would have won it. Derek Lively was like one of the main reasons I won that game yesterday. I think he had like 18.
What about the ex UNLV running rebel, Derek Jones Jr.
Hitting a massive shot last night too.
Not just last night, but what about the alley-oops? Him and Doncic, man, seem to be connected. And he just, you know, we saw his ability at UNLV to be able to get up to play above the rim. But this guy has become one of the most electrifying dunkers in the NBA when he's on his game. And he is really, you talk about unsung heroes of this Dallas Mavericks team, Spencer, you got to put his name in the mix.
Absolutely. But it did come down to Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving at the end of the day.
It's always going
to. These guys are unbelievable. I mean, they are just – Luka is so wild because it's almost like everybody pencils him in as a 30-year-old veteran who's been doing this for 8 years. He's younger, I think, than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So
no, he is.
That tells you everything you need to know.
It's funny. His body is just so beaten up. As a matter of fact, after the game, he talked about it, you know, and you could hear the way he finished his statement was talking about the rest that he's getting today. That guy's probably got ice packs all over him today and just laying on his couch. But this was Luka Doncic last night after the game.
I wish you enjoyed this win. Big respect to OKC. They have an amazing team. They're very young, but they seem very experienced. Obviously, Shai, it's amazing the way he plays. So big respect to them. So today we're going to celebrate this. And then tomorrow we're going to rest.
He said, we're going to rest, but you hear him start it with, I'm going to rest. And I'll tell you what, if anyone deserves rest, it's Luka Doncic. This guy is so much fun to watch, Spencer. He is purely clutch. And with Kyrie Irving really and him blending and gelling together, which is something that, you know, that everyone wondered what would happen in Dallas. Would Kyrie and him be able to play together? Is the basketball, they're going to be able to share the ball? They have really well. And when Doncic has been out with injuries, Kyrie Irving has stepped up and played really, really well. Now you look ahead. Dallas is going to be taking on Denver or Minnesota, and that is going to be enormous challenge, either of these teams, with as good as they play. You've got game sevens today, Spencer, two of them. Let's start with the first one in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics awaiting the winner of Indiana at the Knicks. I did not think this series would go seven games. I'm surprised. I didn't give Indiana enough credit. I think New York wins today, but would it surprise you big time if Indiana came out on top?
There would be a level of surprise for me, actually. I mean, this game has been defined by home games, obviously, And you have another home game coming up here, and it just makes all the difference. That's the importance of home field or home court advantage in basketball. There is something to it, you know, that they weren't able to split any of their, you know, home and away games. So it comes down to this. MSG is just like such an unbelievable crowd, maybe the most exciting in the NBA. It's just rocking in there. I'd love to go one day, actually. I mean, like watching these playoff games make me want to go even more. But I mean, would it be the most shocking loss in NBA history? Like, no, probably not. It just doesn't seem like Tyrese Haliburton can get it going in MSG. It's been a big problem. I mean, the guy is like legitimately played bad and under the bright lights. And it all comes down to him. I mean, if he's not going, you know, getting it going, like the whole game flow and plan for the Pacers kind of falls apart.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's got to play well for this team to have a chance at the Gardens in New York. But I'll tell you what right now, I won't be shocked if Indiana beats them. And the reason for that, Spencer, is you just see it the way they play the Knicks. They believe they can beat them. And that, to me, is the most important thing. But, Indiana's really kind of a little bit of a one-man show. And he's going to have to play the best game of his life. Moving over to the other series, one of my favorite series in the postseason to this point. It's got me watching basketball pretty much every other day, and that's the Denver Nuggets against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, this Minnesota team, you talk about emerging stars, you know, guys that we've seen that we're talking a lot about, like SGA in Oklahoma City. How about Anthony Edwards of the Timberwolves? Spencer, he has become one of the most exciting, most electrifying players to watch in the game. He's got a two-way game. He plays both ends of the court. And, you know, to be complimented by another star like Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, I don't know where this team would be without him, Michael Conley Jr., this team is absolutely no slouch. I know they've got a hell of a, even though they're on the road, they've won in Denver, as we saw that happen in the first couple of games. But the bottom line is they're going up against who I consider the best player in the world. I don't think I'm alone in that consideration. Jokic is as good as it's been. And Spencer, can Minnesota continue this unbelievable streak and find a way to win another game in Denver in the biggest game in their franchise's history?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to get to the point where I'd like to see a DNA test on Anthony Edwards. I mean, he looks dangerously like Michael Jordan, and, you know, they play very similar games of basketball. But, yeah, they did win those first two games in Denver, but I don't know. I mean, I just feel like Denver has that kind of experience. Minnesota's never been out of the first round of the playoffs. I know they got knocked out by the Grizzlies a couple years in a row. So it's not like they don't have any playoff experience, but yeah, this is about as bright as it gets. You know, I mean, you're one game away from being like right there in the NBA finals. This is an exciting year. You know, it's just all the familiar names are gone. Like, someone's going to cement their legacy this year. I just lean Denver. I mean, I just think Jokic is just going to have an amazing game. I think they're really going to tighten things up. It's just really hard to tell. The series has been so uneven. I don't know if there's been a close game in this series at all. I mean, like, one team has just like ran away with it every time, including in game six. I think it was like a 40-point blowout. And you know that's going to give a little extra motivation to Denver. You know, they're at home. They have finals
Denver
experience.
Is never going to play like they did in game six again. That's just not going to happen. I mean, you've got, you know, Aaron Gordon, 12 points. Jamal Murray, I think, had 10. Michael Porter, 8. The bottom line, I think Jokic only had 22 points, 9 rebounds in that game. He's a double-double, sometime triple-double machine. There is no way this guy is not, you're going to keep him caged up again. As good as they've played against him to this point or against them, I think Denver does break through today, but I'd love to see Minnesota upset him. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, it's either that or Anthony Edwards is going to cement himself as like a top five player in the NBA tonight. So, well, that's the best part about the NBA. I mean, these are the games that define people's careers.
No, I agree. I think we're going to see exciting. I think when it's all said and done, I think somehow, again, the Denver Nuggets end up cutting down the Nets when it's all said and hold up the trophy when it's all over with, and that's my prediction on that one. What do you think, Spence, when it's all over with? Who's got the title this year?
I'm leaning towards the Celtics right now. I feel like whatever Eastern Conference team like ends up facing them, the Pacers or Knicks, they're just a little bit too beat up for the Knicks case, quite literally. But if the Pacers do end up going through, I just don't think they're good enough, to be honest with you. But right now, I mean, if the Denver Nuggets make it through to the next round, I think they cruise to the finals. So we'll have to see. I'll be watching tonight.
I think so too. Although I tell you what, I really am looking forward to the Knicks-Celtics series. I think that'll be a fun series if that materializes.
Don't jinx my Knicks, man. Calm down.
I'm excited.
Don't jinx.
I'm not. I said it would be a fun series.
No.
I said it would be a fun series.
Don't put my Knicks in the Eastern Conference final yet.
I understand, but I'm saying, as far as matchups go, I think both of those matchups would be so much fun to watch. Denver and Dallas.
I just wish the Knicks were healthy. Or Minnesota and Dallas.
I know that's the biggest problem. I don't see them getting past the Celtics, but you know what? It is a possibility without question, and looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to both games today. I'm supposed to watch the second game, the nightcap, today over at Paul McKeskey's house with a few other friends. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. That ought to be fun and some good analogy. Real quickly, I got Mike Dixon's going to be joining the show here in 1 second. I know he's on the phone, but before he does, I just really wanted to quickly mention Las Vegas Aces won their first two games, 2-0 on the season. Could they three-peat this year? I'll tell you what. I can't imagine them not again. They look like they're even better than they were last year. You saw just an amazing block by their rookie yesterday. Martin, just unbelievable block in the game yesterday. Pretty cool, but 2-0 for the Aces. So hats off to them, and I think they're going to make another run. And, wow, a three-peat in Vegas. You know, who knows? That probably bodes pretty well for the WNBA. And if you've been watching, Caitlin Clark, get your tickets. They're playing at T-Mobile Arena. I think it's like July 2nd is that game. I know it's early in July. A lot of people want to see it. I imagine by then Caitlin Clark will get her legs underneath her. People forget she just got done playing college basketball a month ago. This is a big-time different level, and everyone in the WNBA is gunning for her with all of the publicity, the $28 million endorsement deal she got through Nike. Give her a little bit of a break. Let her get her legs underneath her. I think she is going to be fine, and I think within 2 or 3 years, she will be one of the best players in the WNBA, for sure one of the best scorers, but just give her a little bit of time. Listen, man, let's grab him. Let's grab Mike Dixon right now. What's going on, brother?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Oh, you know, so damn good. We can hardly stand it. And, of course, you should know about Mike Dixon. This guy has been doing things in Las Vegas for a long time. And love the guy. And, you know, as a matter of fact, if you haven't seen Mike, just check him out. He's the editor, actually the man behind Vegas Sports Today. And all of us, I want to give out your social media sites, at Mike Dixon _VST. Instagram, it's Mike Dixon Sports. And YouTube, at Vegas Sports Today. Mike, I'll tell you what, I don't know of anybody in Vegas who spends as much time covering the Raiders as Vegas Sports Today. You guys get out there, you're at every practice, you're taking pictures at every opportunity. Great site if you haven't checked it out. Mike covers them really well. Mike, I want to ask you, because Spencer, as we know, is a Raiders junkie. What have you seen this year in Antonio Pierce's first official, you know, spring camp with this team when they've been out there? The rookies, what do you see, and what's the feel and the vibe like?
Well, last week they opened up Raiders rookie mini camp to the media, and first thing we noticed, obviously, was Brock Bowers, how big and physical of a tight end he is. Then we looked at, we observed offensive guard Jackson Power Johnson. This guy is massive. He's huge. He's big. I looked at his shoulders and his torso, then down to his calves, because when you pick up an offensive line in the second round, you want to make sure that he can protect your quarterback and do the proper run blocking. So obviously, from a measurable standpoint, you got what you want physically, but mentally, can they adapt to your system? And I just want to ask you guys a very easy, simple question. What is happening this weekend, right? What is it, EDC?
Yes, EDC's going on.
Electric Daisy Carnival, right? And I was looking at the offensive set that Luke Getsy was installing with his basic installments with the rookies. It's going to be electric, man. Running that 12 personnel, taking tight ends like rookie Brock Bowers, taking them out at the flank position, running them into motion, running motions. Look at the Kyle Shanahan influence that he studied under. Just look at how simple this is going to be effective just from running the ball and taking tight ends and wide receivers, just putting them all around the field. But, again, we had a small sample size in that 15-minute window, but
I think it's going to be a very electric offense.
Well, you know, Mike, I'm not disagreeing. I like the offense. I was still Brock Bowers. I was a little bit perplexed at that because they got Mike Myers early last year, and he was going to be the next tight end. I love the kid coming out of Notre Dame, but you're right. Brock Bowers does look like a generational tight end. There's a few of them in the game. Another guy, a lot of people are saying he's like a George Kittle, and they're comparing him to him. That's a hell of a comparison. We'll see. He's bigger. We'll see what happens there. I'm curious about, you know, the defensive backfield is huge. And the Raiders need to shore that up a bit for sure. They got that kid, I think it was in the fourth round, that
Richardson.
Richardson. He's 6'2", 188 pounds. But what really struck me about him when he was playing at Mississippi State, and I saw him play a couple times, Mike, he is a physical guy. He had like almost 200 tackles in his career. He's had a sack, a lot of tackles for loss. He's recovered fumbles. I mean, this guy was, to me, one of the best cornerbacks in the Southeastern Conference. The upside is huge. He's got good size on him. Maybe could put on a little more weight onto that 6'2 frame, but he's fast, he's physical, he's big. Will this guy fit right into the secondary? What do you see about with him?
I mean, obviously, that's a lot to ask of a rookie to put on his shoulders, but why did Antonio Pierce let go of Marcus Peters? Because he could not tackle. So you're looking forward to replace that veteran presence with a rookie, but you know you can lean on Jack Jones. Obviously, he came in late in the season, and he was great picking off the ball. But now you got guys to shore up with Nate Hobbs that can be physical outside of hash marks. You know, you get a guy like Cameron Richardson who can stop that run while relying on your safeties and your corners to just basically keep the ball in front of them. Because you wanted to read and react to this defense. So, you know, there's a lot of upside to Cameron Richardson, but we got to let that rookie season play out to see where he can go. So. Well,
they've got some good rookies. As they said, they got a couple of offensive linemen, a tight end, and a defensive back that they're expecting to contribute this year. It's a lot to put on a rookie, Mike, but he's going to be expected to hold his ground. And again, like you said, they are counting on him to make tackles in the secondary, and that's one thing he was known for when he played for Mississippi State. We'll see what happens there. Mike, while I've got you on the line, too, big heavyweight championship fight. I know Mike covers, Mike covers the UFC big time, all the boxing matches out here. The first time in a long time that we have seen a unification like that. The fight was in Saudi Arabia yesterday. Undisputed heavyweight title between Usyk and Usyk and, of course, Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury has been dominating for years. Last night it was a split decision, but all four belts combined. Fury held the WBC, and I know Usyk held the WBA, the IBF, and the WBO title. It is the first undisputed heavyweight champion, since Lennox Lewis in 1999. Were you surprised?
No, I wasn't. Boxing is a very interesting sport, but I have to take credit to what Tyson Fury said yesterday. You know, he was saying, hey, his country is at war. No, he won that fight no matter what, but forgive me, I didn't watch that fight because I was at the American Cornhole League last night, and I was speaking with Raiders running back Alex Madison, man, and I got some great news to share with you. So I'm sorry I didn't really get to that question there, but I heard it was a great fight.
It was, and the ninth round was really special. I mean, Usyk, he didn't – Fury never left his feet, but he was basically out on his feet and got knocked down. And I knew at that point in time he wasn't going to win the fight. He thought he won it. It was a split decision. I thought it should have been a unanimous decision. But Tyson Fury gone after reigning since 2015. It's a long run as heavyweight champion. And now we'll see how long Usyk can hold it. This guy is no slouch, and I think he'll be there for a minute. Once again, Mike, appreciate you joining the show. As always, Mike Dixon, the editor at Vegas Sports Today. And also remember, you can get on Twitter, MikeDixon_VST, on Instagram, Mike Dixon Sports, and YouTube at Vegas Sports Today. Appreciate you, my friend. Get some rest now.
Right on. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Spence, real quick, I want to talk a little bit about the Preakness, and more than that, I want to talk about the PGA Championship. But real quickly, I want your thoughts on what Mike had to say about the Raiders. You know, I haven't really asked you fully. I mean, obviously Brock Bowers is going to be a hell of a tight end in the National Football League, provided he stays healthy. But are you, at this point in time, now the you know, everything's over, the dust is settled, are you happy with what the Raiders have done and what they're doing?
I am happy. They got the best defensive tackle in free agency. He's a young kid, too. I think he's only 26 years old. So they got the number one free agent this year. They had two great draft picks. I mean, Jackson Powers, I didn't believe in a million years would be there in the second round. And you never know what you're going to get out of the later round guys. The secondary is a problem for the Raiders. But, I mean, I did so many mock drafts going into this year. There's no scenario at all where the Raiders were going to plug in all the holes they had coming into the season. It's just not possible. And that's just the reality of the situation. But I do think they maximized what they got out of it. You know, the quarterback position is just a big problem. I think that the dominoes just didn't fall their way. I think they were actually smart to get Gardner Minshew at the very start of free agency, because otherwise they'd be in a really tough situation if they had no one other than Aiden O'Connell on the roster. You know, and no one could have ever predicted that Michael Penix Jr. was going to get drafted by the Falcons. So sometimes it just, the dominoes don't fall your way. And that's just the reality situation. I think they're going in the right direction. I don't know what's going to come out of this year necessarily because of the quarterback position, but you're never, it's not Madden. You know, you can't just do 1,000 things in the offseason, fix up everything, and then go win a Super Bowl. It takes time. And I do think that the Raiders have been trending in the right direction for a few years now.
Well, I think that Aiden O'Connell should go get the same facial hair. I think all the quarterbacks on the Raiders should be required to wear the same facial hair as Gardner Minshew. I think that would look good. It would be something to talk about. I'm not sold on Minshew. I'm not disagreeing with you that I'm glad they got him early in free agency. I just don't think either one of those guys are the answer. I think I like what they're doing with the offensive line. I think the skill positions are okay. Even though they lost Josh Jacobs, I think, you know, he's probably at the tail end of what he's going to be able to do at the running back position. It's going to be an interesting year. I think the Raiders win 8 games this year. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the season. I did want to bring up, of course, the PGA in the final round. I don't know if you saw with Scottie Scheffler yesterday, but man, you know, he shot over par at Valhalla. I don't remember seeing that. I don't even know when the last time Scottie Scheffler has shot over par on a golf course, especially in moving day in a major, but he did. I know he didn't have his regular caddy with him. It's not an excuse, but again, it's the first time he shot over par. I don't know in how long. He shot a 73 yesterday on Saturday. He's pretty much out of the mix. But 13 players at the PGA are within 5 shots of the lead going into the final round. And based on the names at the top of the leaderboard, I think you're going to see some high drama today. I love the golf course. It's in Louisville, Kentucky. It's, if you haven't seen Valhalla play there, it's a great course. They can shoot pretty low there. All kinds of great stuff today. Yesterday it was crazy, but Shane Lowry almost shot a 61. He missed a birdie putt on the last hole after draining a bunch of bombs, and you know, he's at 13 under, but you got a lot of guys that are right there in this thing. And you know, up top of the leaderboard, you know, with you've got Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa leading it at 15 under. A guy that I really like, Tagalo, man, this guy is going to eventually win a major tournament. He's in third at 14 under, like it a lot. And if you didn't hear, last thing, the Preakness, well, you're not going to see a repeat winner. Mystic Dan got done. A nice gray horse beat him. And hey, that's what we got this week. Next week, we'll talk about conference championships in both the NHL and the NBA. We'll see how the Aces are doing. That's it for today. Want to thank, of course, Mike Dixon for joining the show. Always thanking Spencer and Chris. And I'm Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday, same time, same place. Fox Sports Radio. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.